You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
We're there.
I need more time.
We can't have it.
20 minutes.
It's 8:58.
We can start late.
Hear me, we're a computer company. We can't start late.
Then I have another idea.
What?
It's deceptive and borderline unethical.
I'm listening.
It'll run on the 512.
You tested it?
Yeah.
Wait. You're gonna demo a 128 computer on a 512?
Nobody's gonna know.
And you think that's borderline unethical?
Name my other choices, please.
Please. You have to tell me why it's so important for it to say hello.
Hollywood, they made computers scary things. See how this reminds you of a friendly face? That the disk slot is a goofy grin? It's warm, and it's playful, and it needs to say hello. It needs to say hello because it can.
It's the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him, listen to his shit.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
First, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
But we might as well have a good time.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
All right, guys, here we go. Welcome to episode 204 of Cinema Crespediso. Bienvenidos al episode 204 de Cinema Crespediso. Yo soy Christopher Crespo. Hola, ¿cómo está? Muy bien. ¿Y tú? ¿Cómo se dice waterbed?
I was about to say, is that the extent of your Spanish knowledge right there?
No, I didn't use cerveza yet. Or baño.
Or biblioteca.
Biblioteca. ¿Dónde está la biblioteca? ¿Tenemos cervezas a la biblioteca? No. No tenemos cervezas a la biblioteca, señor.
Yeah, beer at the library.
Tenemos un gato. We have a cat.
What does it have to do with anything? See, not
asking just the important questions as Juicer Gogger and Drew.
Chris, your lack of Spanish knowledge is...
Lack of Spanish? What are you talking about? That was the bilingual episode. The bilingual
that was everything.
So that was it.
Like I said.
Those words made sense in certain orders.
Vaguely.
Guys, we have your threat level update. This week's threat level update. Current threat level is... Orchid. The end is statistically unlikely. We have returning
Actually,
guests.
Actually, the end is statistically very likely.
Oh, just they're challenging the current threat level update.
That's
fine. Dissent is often encouraged here in Cinema Crespediso land. We have returning guests. I believe this is his third time on the show. He's been a busy gentleman, so we're happy. So happy when he makes the time to come in here and hang out with us. He is a great friend of the show, professional wrestler, professional shit talker, and a pretty good Ric Flair impressionist. And what was the other one? Stone Cold Steve Austin. Come on, now some good stuff. If you, depending on the order you listen to these episodes, you know what we're talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Simon Time is here.
I feel like I'm home.
Good.
I feel like I'm coming home.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
You're comfortable here.
I love it, man.
That's the way it should be, man. Thanks for coming by, dude.
No, thank you for having and for putting up with all the craziness, man.
Well, I mean,
twice
try to make it out here. One time,
one time you almost died.
Yeah, I almost passed away.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then the other time, kid stuff. I'm a dad now.
You got to deal with the kid stuff.
Yeah. Somebody's
what
dad.
What am I going to say? Stop being a father,
damn it!
And come over here and give us free content. We're not going to compensate you.
Just
for
drop
it.
Off your kid with some strangers.
Exactly.
Yeah, come right. Over here.
Just leave him. Just take him to the mall. Tell him to stand still for four hours.
Put the TV on.
Uh-huh. Put the TV on. Like dogs, right?
Yeah.
Make sure there's enough food in the bowl. I don't have kids. I don't know how this works.
Strap a bottle of water to his chest and tell him to have a nice day.
I actually have the baby's bottle hanging upside down like the guinea pig cage. Just
the crib. Little hairy wall, and there's over to him. He's like, oh my God, I'm not gonna sell that milk. Give me some of that milk. Thank you so much, Simon, for coming on. I appreciate it. We're here to have a good time. We're going to talk about movies and whatever else happens to be in the entertainment news. And we're just going to talk some shit. This is Cinema Crest Medusa. That's what it's all about. So we're going to start with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, which means we start with the theme song. Here's that theme song.
We got what you see. Movies on fleek. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
That's right, here we go. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week time. We do this every week. You need something to watch? So many movies, so many different titles to watch. We're here to help you out. Stop wasting time just flipping through titles. Just trust us. Simon, go let everyone know, what is this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week?
This pick of the week is a little thing called Embers.
Embers, oh shit, that was a recent addition, as a matter of fact. The thing was just put on the Netflix Embers I just saw at the Florida Film Festival this year. It was like the second movie I saw at the Florida Film Festival. And it's a sort of a dystopian future movie, right? Nondescript, not too far in the distant future, where the whole world has been struck with an ailment. That was caused by a virus. So this ailment.
The ailment.
And the ailment in this particular case is that everyone's memories get fucked up. They can't make new memories. Right?
Oh, wow.
So you remember some things from a certain time period, like going back far enough. You remember how to like make words and speech and things like that, you know. But when you meet someone, like we see each other on the street, like, hey, how's it going? This is my name. If you can even remember your name, you probably give yourself a name. And then, like, you turn around and you don't see each other for like 2 minutes, and then you turn back around. It's like, oh, hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you, you know. And it's so this movie Embers is the embers of society, you know, like the ashes of society. That's what's left. So the movie follows like four or five separate groups of people or individual people and how they're surviving in this world, which includes a dude who lives in an underground bunker, a converted bunker. With his daughter, and they're not sick. They have their memories, and they have like art pieces and stuff. But as far as they know, they're the only two people in the world.
Wow, who can still remember stuff.
And she's like 17, 18, and she wants to leave. She feels like she's a museum piece. And so the whole movie, part of their story is them arguing about how she wants to get out of there. And he's like, if you leave, your memory, you're gonna lose your memory, and you're gonna wander the earth like a weirdo sucker. Loser, you know, it's gonna be terrible. It's terrible out there.
I was gonna ask about that, wandering the earth, because
they wander.
Yeah, because you can't remember how to get anywhere. That is awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, just wander.
Yeah, people, they walk into like a rundown building and they find a couch and they're like, I guess, and then they just sit there and they camp there for a while and they're like, oh, we need to go get some food. They get up and they leave.
And they never come back.
They find food and they go back to like, maybe they make it back to the building and then they like pick another room. Like, I think this is it. This looks right. I don't know. And there's interesting solutions there, how people do find a way to like remember things that they know that they want to remember and stuff like that. It's a pretty fascinating movie.
I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a little slow by the nature of it because it's a lot about these characters they're constantly discovering stuff. And I will warn you that one of the four or five stories ends up being like, oh, that's a bummer. That's good. That's sad. But it's also just part of the movie, you know? I will also say that there's like four or five stories, right? But it all doesn't come together in some crazy way.
Okay.
They're just all concurrent, and then the movie just ends. And I guess all the stories end, and then it's like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah. But it's good stuff. It's definitely a film festival type movie. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's an arty movie. It's not gonna play on 3,000 screens. It's pretty cool that it's on the Netflix.
That's awesome. I'm gonna check that out.
That's for sure. So that's some good stuff. All right. Let's jump into the box office recap. That means we're gonna be talking about those numbers. That's right, Drew Zagogman. Where are we gonna start this week's top five?
Top five actually starts top five this week.
Oh my god.
Doctor Strange. Coming to number five, $6.4 million, total of $215.3 domestic. Another $419 foreign, total worldwide box office sitting at $634 million.
Just like we said in this week's bonus spillover episode, Doctor Strange set a record for the Marvel movies being the highest grossing Marvel movie that only features one of the characters. That's not some sort of team up.
Was it good?
Yes.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yes.
It was really good.
Hesitance about seeing
it. It's a lot of fun. It's
really good.
Because it's a little weird and different. It's not
so weird. Yeah. It's so different.
It's not your typical.
But it's still very much a Marvel superhero movie.
Yeah.
I was just always afraid Doctor Strange didn't have the star power or the rogues gallery villain power to attract to a story by himself.
Where it makes up for that, it's more in the metaphysicalness and the ideas and the whole like other realms and stuff like that. It opens up this whole other corner of the Marvel universe where
they can get super weird.
Yeah, so then the main villain throughout the movie, played by Mads Mikkelsen, is fine, but he's kind of your typical Marvel villain.
Yeah.
Your Ronin, the whatever, mm-hmm. or your, what's his name?
Your blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly. But the ultimate villain who reveals at the end is very much like a Doctor Strange, just as a crazy, like, celestial type being or mm-hmm. whatever, and the interaction they have is like, this is fucking weird, dude, this is so crazy. So that's definitely worth, if you're into those movies yeah. at all, totally worth watching and checking out.
Now
sure.
that it has your stamp of approval.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's a comic book movie about wizards.
I heard it's very Inception-like, too.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. They definitely took influence
yes.
sure, from the Inception action scenes and the conceptual design. Mm-hmm. But it's totally there, yeah. But not just in like a cheesy way, like we're just going to steal this, but like they took it to another level.
Exactly. They took it and they did their own thing with it.
Yeah. They kaleidoscoped it. Oh, shit. It's pretty cool.
It's wicked.
So that's the reason why it's making so much money, because it is a generally good movie. So I think people should check it out. That's number five?
Definitely.
What's number four?
Number four, Ally.
There we go.
Made $7.05 million, total of 28.
20 million. Do they have a budget there?
85.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I saw Allied. They came out last week, but I saw it yesterday. Allied is the World War II thriller in which Brad Pitt plays a Canadian with the Royal Air Force, and he gets dropped in behind enemy lines in France, Nazi-occupied France, and he meets up with an operative, a French lady, a resistance lady, who they're both deep cover. She's played by Marion Cotillard, who's, speaking of Inception, she's the mm-hmm. wife of Inception. And they team up. They take out like a German ambassador, and then he marries her. They fall in love, takes her back to London, where she becomes the mother of their child. And then very shortly after that, the military intelligence brings in Brad Pitt, and they're like, "We think your wife is a German spy, so we have 3 days to figure this out. And if she is, you're gonna have to kill her to prove that you're not a spy." So then, that's like the second half of the movie. And all that's covered in the trailer.
Yeah. Holy shit, dude.
It's crazy. It's a crazy setup. And all that's in the trailer, which is crazy then that it takes like an hour, like half the movie takes to get them married and to London and having
really?
A kid.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of setup. And I guess it's because they're trying to sell them falling in love
mm-hmm.
in the first set, when during the first mission. But mm-hmm. I also felt like there was a scene or two. There was something missing in there. To really seal the, like, he falls for her thing. Like, I never really felt like he fell in love with her. All of a sudden, he was just kind of in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
It was a weird thing. I felt like...
No investment?
Just that maybe there was, like, one... They were doing the work. They were putting the work, but I felt like there was just maybe one scene missing. I couldn't figure out what it was. I think a rewatch would help me figure out what would be the impetus, what I'm looking for. But there's something that I'm, like, I'm just not connecting here totally. But it's still like super expertly well made because it's Robert Zemeckis. He did the Back to the Future movies and Contact. And this guy just, you know, makes tons of great movies, right? Most recently, he made Flight, which is a pretty damn good movie for a Lifetime film. And for an after school special, which is what that movie is. And in this one, like the Blitzkrieg scenes are crazy. Like they give birth to a kid during the Blitzkrieg of raids, like blow up the hospital. And they're like pushing the bed out, like, oh shit. And things are blowing up and it's fucking wild. It's interesting, and it actually made me think of how I really haven't really seen any movies. They may be out there, but I haven't seen movies that really accurately depict what it was like to live in World War II London.
Yeah,
during the Blitzkrieg. to be like, we're having a house party. All these people are over. Oh, and then here go the air sirens. You look outside, and then there's an air battle. Here comes German planes coming in with bombs, and we're trying to shoot them down. And then someone's like, oh, don't worry. Looks like they're targeting the East End tonight. We'll be fine. That's like, what? Shit going down right over
there.
Damn. Yeah, it's like, that's fucking intense. I wonder what it was. Man, it must have been horrible. And then you're walking down the street, and shit's just blowing up everywhere, and there's signs.
Hey, man, keep going, carry on.
Yeah, there's signs in front of blowing up businesses that says, yes, we're still open, and they're, like, trying to peddle their wares through the broken glass and stuff. Like, that is intense, and that's just the backdrop of the movie. Like, I kind of want to see a movie that's all just about that.
Yeah, capitalize on that.
Yeah, just living in the Blitzkrieg. That's enough drama. We don't have to come up with this whole thing about the wife, and is she a spy, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Overall, it was pretty good. But it's like, don't rush out and go see it. It's like a DVD rental or a catch it on TV type thing for sure.
I like that. We should conceptualize that movie.
The Blitzkrieg movie? We could make
it. It's called Blitzkrieg.
We could call it the story of a young musician girl trying to get into the teeny bopper scene called Blitzkrieg Pop.
There you go. And every club she gets booked in, before the gig comes, she gets blown up.
Blown up, yeah.
Damn it.
Again!
This was going to be my breakout. Speaking of breakout, here we go. What's the number? That was number four movie? What's the number three movie?
Number three movie this week, Arrival. We can gross $7.3 million, total of 73.
The sci-fi film Arrival, which the aliens arrive and try to communicate to us. Amy Adams is the linguist who tries to figure out what they're saying. It's a good movie. It's a good movie. Are you, I'm sure I've asked you this before. Science fiction, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Do you like the, if you're going sci-fi, do you want more like lasers, pew, pew, space battles? Or do you want like crazy ideas? Or are you looking for like other worlds? What are you into?
I like the crazy ideas.
Yeah?
Stuff. Yeah, yeah. I can't remember the, jeez, I want to say Charlie Sheen or somebody was in there with aliens. Was it Contact or something?
Arrival. He was in a movie called The Arrival.
Where the aliens at the end reveal themselves and they have like weird backwards, like legs that bend backwards.
Yeah,
and
yeah. He's like, he gets a signal or something. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, that's from the 90s called The Arrival. And it was more of a like a dark thriller type thing, the way it was made. This one, Arrival, is more, it's, it gets kind of tense at times for sure. But it's more of like a brainy, idea-driven sci-fi. Yeah, in that case, definitely. I think you would like it. You would like this one. It's definitely worth checking out. And this is one where if you're looking for a movie to go see, I know you're a very busy dude. You've got the kids and all that. But if you ever get a date night or something for the Mrs. Says, it'll actually be a pretty good movie to check out for sure, I would say. Arrival's good stuff. That's number three.
Mm-hmm.
What's number two?
Number two, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find
Them. Where can you find them?
We can gross $18 million. Apparently, the movie theater. Uh-huh. We can gross $18 million. Total of $183.
I mean, in the trailer, the beasts are in a suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, apparently, there's a lot more than just beasts in that suitcase.
Stairs,
entire buildings. Like, apparently, it's its own little world.
There's a world in the suitcase?
Yeah.
How come they didn't call it Fantastic Beasts and the World Inside the Suitcase? How come they didn't call James the Giant Peach? They should have called that. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it?
It does, kind of.
We haven't seen Fantastic Beasts, but the word from it is that it's pretty good. If you're into the Harry Potter stuff, then it's A-okay. You know, it's not really blowing people away, but people seem to be enjoying it.
I think they're just happy to get something fresh and new from the Harry Potter world, man.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
People needed their fix.
100%. Yeah. And Warner Brothers is happy that this movie grossed so far that it made $500 million worldwide already.
Holy hell.
Yeah, so it's doing its thing. It's making the money that they expected to make, around $750 probably. And so like, yeah, we'll definitely make four more of these.
Yes, they will.
For the next 8 years, 10 years. Mm-hmm. A lot of Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're going to see his face a lot.
Speaking softly.
Doing this.
He's always speaking softly. He's like, oh, wait, look at the beast. Oh, my goodness. I have to. All right, here we go. That was number three?
Yep.
What's number two?
No, that was number two.
That was number two?
Yep.
Well, then what's number one?
Number one is Moana. Weekend gross of $28.3 million, total of $119.8.
Moana, that's that Disney.
Disney and The Rock.
With The Rock.
Making that with The Rock. Look at The Rock making all that loot. I mean, he's seriously, though. He's like.
He's The Rock.
One of the best, right? He's, when it comes to wrestlers turn actors.
Mm-hmm. Turn just whatever, man.
Turn whatever. I mean, celebrity or whatever. Lord. Like, he's made the most of that wrestling celebrity into turning it into something.
Transcended,
But that's just because he's got it.
Got it? Well, they all have it, though. People I'm thinking of, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Totally has it.
Oh, yeah.
Andre the Giant. I had it. Yeah. On top of being like a physical, like, look at this weirdo. He's a gigantic man.
But The Rock has done a good job of now getting away from the stigma where you don't automatically think of him as the wrestler.
Yeah.
Some people forget that he was in the business.
Some people don't even know he was in the business.
Mm-hmm. At this point, yeah, because it's been long enough. Hogan has gone. Hogan's never been not the wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even when he was in movies. Hell, in movies, he's played wrestlers often.
And some bad movies.
Almost universally.
At least The Rock's had a couple of stinks. You know, Doom and whatnot. But,
sure. But he's also made some good ones because he's worked enough. Hogan,
I mean, The Rundown. Case in point.
Love The Rundown. Rundown's such a fun movie.
Fucking amazing.
With a much, much smaller body of work, though. Shout out to Roddy Roddy Piper.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They live, baby.
Yeah, bro. He's done his thing. And then TV. Hogan did well for himself on TV, though. Thunder in Paradise, the TV movie.
Oh, I remember Thunder in Paradise.
But then Mr. Nanny and
WWF produced No Holds Barred. Awesome. With Tony Tiny Lister as Zeus, introducing Tony Tiny Lister, the actor.
Who then joined the roster.
WrestleMania 89. I have it on VHS somewhere. I got it somewhere. It's him, Macho Man Randy Savage, with Sensational Queen Sherry in the corner. I don't know if she was a queen by that point. Versus Brutus Barbecue. Beefcake and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And it was Zeus. It was the fucking Tony Tiny Lister, an actor out there with like a crazy eye. It was Debo, man.
With a Z.
Yeah, the Z.
He shaved it to the side of his head.
Oh my God. And at the time, I was like, oh, it's from the movie and now he's wrestling. This is real. It's all real. Because I was like 7 years old. See, it's real. It's on the TV. What were we talking about?
Moana.
Good for The Rock.
Transcending.
Good for The Rock. And Disney making all that money. Goddamn Disney.
I heard the soundtrack is amazing too for that
movie. Of course it is.
Yeah. Well, they also brought in late Lin-Manuel Miranda to write some things for them.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, this guy's hot. Everyone's trying to get some of that.
Doing. Oh, yeah.
Juice. Good for him. Making Puerto Ricans proud. Even though I listened to some of that Hamilton, I don't know.
You don't know.
It's kind of.
Hey, I'm not really a musical guy, so.
Could be better.
Whatever.
Maybe it works better in context. So that was number one. All right, good for you guys. Disney or overlords making tons of money. Good for them. The new movies. Here we go. New movies come out on DVD. Do I have a new movie thing? That's just my default. If I don't have an intro, I just play that. New movies on DVD. The Secret Life of Pets. Speaking of animation. Who was that? That wasn't Disney, was it? Secret Life of Pets?
That was DreamWorks.
Was it DreamWorks?
I think.
It was their version of Toy Story, but instead of toys, it was pets.
Exactly.
And
Kevin Hart was a weird tiny rabbit.
Kevin Hart's a tiny rabbit. Everyone loves a tiny rabbit. Maybe we'll get a tiny rabbit movie. I'll go see that. Jason Bourne comes out on DVD.
You know his name, Chris.
You know his name, Drew. His name is Matt Damon, and he started Jason Bourne.
Matt Damon.
Which came out this summer. Drew loves him.
I do. I really do. Nothing against Matt Damon. It's just fucking hilarious.
Just like, hilarious. I don't want to ask questions about him at trivia.
Matt Damon. Matt Birbiglia's second movie, Don't Think Twice. I want to see this. I played the end scene for a while, but I didn't go see it at that time. And it's about a group of...
Wait, Don't Think Twice?
Don't Think Twice. And it's because that's like an improv thing. Just do your improv. Don't think twice, just do it, right? Because it's about an improv comedy troupe in which one member of the group... gets like a TV deal, and that's the one that's going to go on and become a famous person. The rest of the troupe has to deal with the fact, oh, maybe we're not going to be famous, you know? And it's all about the interpersonal relationships of the people in this group and how they deal with the idea of getting older and doing what they really love, but then maybe having to be like, oh, maybe I should give up, that type of thing. And got great reviews. People loved it. It's got a good cast, so I definitely want to check that out. It comes out on DVD this week. And also coming out, Phantasm... Ravager. It's the fifth Phantasm movie made since the first one came out in the late 70s. And the crazy thing about the Phantasm movies, they've had the same lead actor in all the movies. And it's just some random dude,
yep.
Like when they first made it. So this guy's like aged poorly, and it's crazy to see him like age 40 years, you know, and to go from like pretty much a 20-year-old to like some crazy looking old man making these crazy sci-fi Phantasm movies. And it's supposed to be the last one, so...
Is Phantasm the one that's got all that urban legend stuff around it where they use, like, human bones, or is that Poltergeist?
That's Poltergeist, where they're, like, at the burial grounds and stuff.
But there's stories that they say that, either burial grounds or something, one movie that's cursed that multiple people on the cast...
Oh, that's Poltergeist. Yeah. People, each one died, like,
Yeah. They
made it. No, Phantasm is just, like, a super low-budget, very inventive horror film... that didn't spawn like this guy's career, Don Coscarelli, and then he's gone back to that franchise and made more of them. But he's also gone to do other things as well, for sure. It's a pretty fun. It's the one where there's like the flying silver ball and it hits a guy in the forehead and it drills into his head and the blood comes spurting out the other end of the ball. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
The sewer ball. That's phantasm. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
In theaters this week, that weird Jessica Chastain movie, Ms. Sloane, comes out.
Where she's like a lobbyist against the gun lobby.
Something.
Yeah, like see, sounds like it's some sort of political thing. Know. Yeah, I don't know. It looks weird.
Also, Office Christmas Party.
Office Christmas Party looks like fun, big R-rated Christmas movie. I love, you know, Simon, we love Christmas movies around here. I know it's not your favorite holiday, but as you can see around here, we got a little tree and stuff.
I love the decorations in here, though.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we try to keep it in line. What else? Come on.
And as I've said previous, I really usually, for the most part, I don't like musicals. I'm not a musical guy. Never have been. But La La Land comes
La
out
Land.
This weekend,
yeah,
and I'm interested in that very much.
From the writer and director of Whiplash comes a musical, La La Land, starring Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling. The marketing is interesting.
It is.
A lot of very interesting imagery in this movie. At one point, they're at the planetarium checking out the star dome thing. And they start dancing, and then they start like floating up
into space. And they're while dancing.
Yeah, so then they're dancing slowly with the space backdrop and stuff in the theater, and they, little tricks like that, little interesting things that make it look like not your average, like it's a throwback musical.
Yeah, definitely,
but modern, contemporized.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know, it looks interesting for sure.
Definitely. Well, I gotta say, I mean, it's the guy who did Whiplash, so I'm in.
Have you seen Whiplash, the movie about the drummer, the drummer at the school and the teacher?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the same guy. The guy who made that movie made this musical.
La La Land?
Yes.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, and Whiplash is a crazy movie, man.
It's so fucking good.
So
for being a movie about a drummer in college, it's fucking violent.
Yeah.
I don't think I finished it.
It gets bloody, man. Yeah, it's a wild movie. There's car wrecks, and it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it's coming out. Is that it?
That's all.
All right, well, that means it's time for Dr. Drew's 2 cents.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor's in. Dr. Drew, please take it away.
Chris, it's that time of year again.
Yeah.
Christmas!
Is here.
Merry Christmas, everybody! Christmas. Yeah, if you guys are unfamiliar with Christmas, this is, you know, the time of year when, you know, lots of awful, horrible shit will happen to you,
yeah,
and the universe will laugh in your general direction,
yeah,
and you'll just kind of crap all over you. So, you know, if it hasn't happened to you yet, get ready. It's coming. If it has happened, hey, Merry Christmas. It came early for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that time of season, guys.
Christmas came early for me this
year. Oh, yeah. Good
had some
job.
Car problems. Yeah.
Merry
car
Christmas.
Problems. That's how you know it's Christmas. If your car, like, doesn't start for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to drop a couple $100 for some stupid reason to get it working again.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you for reminding everyone, Drew.
You're welcome, Chris.
All right. Doctor's out. Is that it, doctor?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Crespo Disco break time, guys. I got 2 songs here. I know I played these songs on the show before, but we've also done the show long enough. It's been a while ago. We've got new listeners since then. They haven't heard this stuff. So I grabbed a song from the Inception soundtrack. We've been name dropping that already. And a song from the Heat soundtrack. The former by Hans Zimmer, the latter by Elliot Goldenthal? I should have wrote that down. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back. You guys feeling good?
Yes, sir.
Yep. You feel good or you feel tough?
I feel good.
Feel great.
Feel great. That was a colloquial joke that I barely understand. Feel tough. Feel tough means trash. You feel you feel good or you feel tough? Feel tough. I think it's a Puerto Rican.
Do you feel trash, Chris?
My aunt says a lot. I don't know.
I mean, why are you feeling the trash? That's what I want to know.
It's a good question. Ricans are weird.
They are.
Weird people.
I agree.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Viva los macheteros. How about that for weird? Yeah? No?
No.
Okay.
Yo, yo, what's good, world? This is your boy, Steezy, coming to you straight out of the Trap House. We are pumping out two brand new shows a week for you, featuring the illest open discussion in O-Town. We love highlighting local Orlando talent, including comedians, musicians, artists, and anyone with beer money. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to finally know what the heat of the week is and not feel like a downright herb, download Steezy's Trap House on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher today. Get booked.
What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
That's right, here we go. Episode 204 is back. We are doing this thing. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. I'm hanging out with Drew Stikogren and what up? Simon Tyre.
Yes, sir.
That's right. The homies are here. Drew Stikogren, where can people find you online?
At antihero419 all over the internet.
People, send Drew Stikogren your favorite GIFs on Twitter of 80s... Muppet movies, but not the Muppets. It could be Muppets, or it could be Labyrinth or Dark Crystal or anything Jim Henson related. Send them your favorite Jim Henson related GIFs. Twitter at what was that again, Drew?
Antihero 419.
I'm taking a picture of Drew. No, I'm not. That's a selfie camera.
You are so awful at life.
I'm pretty bad at most of this. Simon Time, where can people find you on the interweb, sir?
Facebook.com/TheSimonSays, also Emerald_Emperor on all the social medias and stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah. You guys ever seen this movie, by the way, called The Christmas Toy by Jim Henson?
The Christmas Toy?
Out of curiosity.
No, I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
What's that one about?
It's this little plushy toy that gets opened for Christmas.
Okay.
And so it feels the joy of being unwrapped and blah, blah, blah. So the next year, It tries to get back into a box to get unwrapped. Mm-hmm. So all the toys that are... It's one of those things where the toys move and the people aren't around.
Okay.
Yeah. And they try to warn him, hey, if you get caught out of place, if a person catches you not in the spot where they left you, you freeze forever. And the little plushy cat toy doesn't understand, like... He just wants to feel the joy of being unwrapped.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's a little clown toy that tries to stop him from going. And like, gets spotted and gets frozen forever. And, yeah, it's...
No.
That's great.
Yeah. And there's
never heard of that.
And there's, like, the villains is, like, creature named... Or doll named Meteora. And she gets unwrapped. And she's, like, got the Buzz Lightyear syndrome where she thinks she's the real Meteora.
Yeah.
So, shenanigans ensue. Yeah, so it's...
That one,
man. See, there you go. Simon told us about the movie. Thank you, Simon. And that Christmas movie Christmas too, guys. Movie. I didn't like Christmas all that much, and he's here to tell us about it. Thank you.
He's a man. People, check out the Emerald Emperor himself online and support his wrestling endeavors. If you haven't heard it yet, or if you're listening to the show early, because some people listen to the show immediately. Simon, I put it out online.
Boom, download it. Listen to it.
Yeah, an hour later, dozens of people have already checked that awesome, out. Man. You know, so and all you guys are the best. We love you. In a couple of days, you're gonna get to hear the special wrestling bonus episode we did with Simon. He gave us some good stories and some tidbits about working on the road. It was awesome. And if you're listening to this, if you're not one of those people that listen to a show right away, it's cool. We still appreciate you listening. Go back and check out that Simon Time Wrestling bonus episode. That shit was dope, guys. It was good stuff.
That was a lot of fun.
Yes, we appreciate you coming on the show, Simon. Thank you. Hit up the show on Twitter at Crespediso, Facebook Cinema Crespediso, and Instagram Cinema Crespediso. And you can email us cinemacrespediso@gmail.com for free stickers, as well as having your voice heard in the segment that is called the Vox Populi. And that segment has an intro, and it goes like this.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
That's right, guys. What did you see? You let us know, and then we'll read it on the show. Any of your movie reviews we'll read, as well as your topic suggestions, Crespo Dome battles, rants, raves, comments, questions, themes, whatever. We'll read it. It's the Vox Populi. It's the voice of the people. It's a segment of the people. This is the podcast of the people. I'm the film critic of the people. Simon's the Simon of the people. Drew's of the people. Here we go. Drew, take it away.
Got an email from Gabe.
What's up, Gabe?
He's got three movie reviews for us.
All right, here we go.
Morris from America.
Nice. Morris from America is like, I think it's great. Not to undercut Gabe, I think it's great.
I agree. It's fucking awesome. Between, you know, Morris and Ricky Baker go to China?
Yeah.
Is that our idea?
That's got to be a movie. That's got to be a movie. All right, here we go. Morris from America.
I really like this movie. Not going to blow your socks off, but the visual storytelling was great, and yes. I resonated with the main character.
Yeah, true.
I felt like an outsider much of my teenage life, and I didn't gain confidence until college. It is an interesting mix-up for A24. Hmm. Craig Robinson does a good job, but the ending kind of flails out. Definitely feels like someone's personal story, though. A 2016 honorable mention for me.
There you go. Good stuff.
Hell or High Water's next.
Hell or High Water, all right. We gave with the Hell or High Water review. Here we go, right?
Seems like an anthology for No Country for Old Men. Would be a great double feature. Pine, Foster, and Bridges have nice performances. Did you notice the Ranger with the vape pen? Obviously relevant to today with the tense ending. Solid watch. But the vape pen was a throwaway. He used it once and they were like, vape pen.
Yeah.
Like, vape pen.
Yes, yeah.
And then gone for the rest of the whole rest of the movie.
So this movie, Simon, Hell or High Water, when did that, was that like September? Yeah. It was like a September, October movie. It's like a modern Western, right? A couple of brothers are robbing banks to pay for a mysterious thing they gotta pay for. And Jeff Bridges is like the Texas Marshal, the Ranger, who's gonna track him down in my town. And and he's got a half-Indian, Spanish guy, yeah. Sidekick guy. And this guy, his character is introduced when he walks into Jeff Bridges' office. And Drew pointed this out on the episode, made me laugh so hard. That because it was true. The guy walks into the office, he says a line of dialogue to Jeff Bridges, leans against the wall, and he pulls out one of those gigantic, like, Star Wars lightsaber vape pens. And he hits it, and he blows out his vape smoke. He's just, like, holding his vape pen.
And then, they had a little, like, conversation about it, too.
They even mentioned real quick, yeah. And so it's like, oh, is the vape pen going to come into it later? What's the significance of the vape pen? And he doesn't even hit the thing for the rest of the movie. You never even see it again. It's not even a joke motif. No. Nothing.
What was the point?
Exactly. Don't know.
Weird product placement where people are like, I want that specific vape pen that you have no idea what the brand is. And it looks like all these other douche vape pens. Drew, the two vape shops that there's the one, the vape lounge on Fairbanks, and someone opened another vape lounge like a block away from it on Fairbanks.
What if they shut down?
They both shut down.
Ha!
Not to decry the small business owner's loss, but
which is lame.
But a vape lounge is fucking stupid.
Yeah. One for the good guys.
Yeah. One less douche, or about two less douches.
There's one around the corner from here.
Yes, there is.
Etchy goes through it all the time.
Etchy does go to that one, as a matter of fact. Friend of the show, Etchy, himself, he's a vape master. He loves vaping.
Vape connoisseur.
He's a vape connoisseur. This guy, Simon, Steve Etchy, last time he was here, he was like, guys, taste this. What was it? It was funnel cake.
It was funnel cake.
It was Carnival funnel cake. And he was like, I bought this specific liquid, because he makes his own flavors. He's like, I bought this one specific liquid that's supposed to recreate the mouthfeel of cake. Like, you're biting into the cake. And sure enough, when he hit it, it's like, it gives me a weird mouthfeel. Like, I got cake in my mouth.
Really?
It was strange as fuck. Strange AF.
That's magic.
Strange AF. Yeah, it is magic. It's vape magic. And then Drew was like, I'm going to go to this vape place to help get off the cigarettes. So I'm trying to get Drew's got to get off the cigarettes. I'm doing my part. I'm that annoying guy. He was like, doing that thing, you know.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Half the time, I don't even mean that. Guys got to get off the cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm going to go to the vape place. And I'm like, yeah, you know, once you walk in there, they take you to a back room. They hit you with the palm fronds. And it's like really.
Initiate you into the douchebag vape club.
And they blow with the vape smoke on you. All up and down, and you get all sweaty and vapey. And you choose your vape flavors, and they blow like the grape smoke, vape smoke in your face. You know, shit like that. And that's how you get initiated into vape culture.
Wow.
And then you're allowed to like buy the liquids and stuff and be a vape clown.
We need you around, Drew, so no more cigarettes.
I know, I get it.
Chris has given me permission.
But I don't want to be a vape clown.
Yeah, give him shit for the smoking.
I get to give you a Ric Flair chop every time you smoke a cigarette.
Oh!
Those are stiff.
Oh!
Ric Flair's known for those stiff chops, man. The red chest.
Especially the Simon ones, dude.
The Simon ones. Well, yeah,
I'm just gonna have to not smoke a cigarette around you.
Exactly. Because you grew up watching the time when in the late 90s, early 2000s, right? By that time, too, you're like, I'm doing this wrestling. You're only a few years off from doing it, right? Mm-hmm. That's when, like, that was in vogue at the time. The chest slap.
Benoit was the shopping dish.
Yeah, and trying to make it as loud as possible in the arena shows, WCW, WWF. Like, the crowd would get quiet.
Yeah.
So that you could hear one. Like, the Big Show was good with that because he had those huge mitts.
And then everybody goes, ooh.
Yeah, everyone like, oh, because it was so loud. You hear it echo in the freaking arena, you know?
These guys are wrestling with shirts on. One of my favorite things is the middle of the match, just rip the shirt off and just light them up.
Yeah. Because, you know, they have the shirt because they're like, oh, my flanks. I'd be that guy. If you just, like, if you just hit me like that on the side there, I'm like, ay, ay, ay. You know, oh, don't do that. That hurts so much.
I've done it, man.
Yeah.
I've grabbed a guy that if you bitch up on a chop, I'm grabbing by the wrist and lift the arm up and just a big open hand.
Just put a handprint on there. And then the next day you're like, look at that purple spot. That's you, motherfucker. You're like, that's right. Yep. That was me.
Damn straight.
Guys, listen to the wrestling episode. We had a lot of fun. That was good stuff. Does Gabe have more?
Oh, Zootopia review.
Okay, because we went off on that Hell or High Water thing with the vape stuff. Also, shout out to the vape clown Trey from the Swervy Jones show. That guy on his show, Swervy Jones show, it's just the two of them. He will sit there with the vape pen and hit it right into the microphone. He sounds like Darth Vader. It's hysterical. he does not give a fuck.
What?
Yeah, it's great. Those guys are awesome. Here we go.
All right, Zootopia review.
Zootopia. Here we go.
A mature allegory with great animation. I like the plot twist and how characters are woven into the story. Great fun with high rewatchability. Disney knows.
Disney does know. Zootopia is good. And it's on Netflix, so it's a recommendation for people.
I just watched it on Netflix.
It's good, right?
It is good.
Mind-blowing how adult the theme is, man.
Yeah, the whole marginalization of a segment of society and stuff. But then it does go so deep. I saw some think pieces online about how it's like, well, you know, the marginalized people in Zootopia are the predators.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes into the whole how racial minorities are natural predators, etc., etc. Oh, shit, guys. Juicy Cogburn, Simon Time, Trivia Master. We're going to do Juicy Cogburn's 0-2. Hey, that rhymes. Chris Poetry in motion, Drew. That was it.
Wow.
That was some Chris Poetry right there. Two lines. But there's like something where like, oh, they chose to make the predators of the society the point, the people that are like, you gotta watch out for the predators, you know. And then there's the whole thing in the 90s, the super predators dialogue with black and Hispanic people in America. So there's some, it's an allegory that could be twisted in some ways.
Yeah,
it's,
man.
It's interesting. That's what happens when you traffic in like such deep shit, you know. But yeah, Zootopia's, it's good. It's got it. It's got it going on for sure. Guys, that was the sound for Drew Cogburn versus the world. Put this down here. I got too many things in my hand. And you know what? Okay, I'll do that afterwards. I keep seeing this. I have to remind myself to do that. Drew, you are now 15-12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Not a bad record. Could be better. A little over 500. Just to recap, because we're towards the end of the year now.
Yeah, we are.
The very first year we did Cinema Crest.
11-11.
11-11-1. The only time ever happened.
It's because you were not prepared.
Did not have a tiebreaker ready to go, but I didn't think of one on the spot. That was Tom the Beer Guy's first episode, too. So there you go.
Oh, wow.
The year after that, he went 13-7. The year after that, 19-7. He crushed it last year, Simon. He was killing shit. This year, 15-12. It's been more of a struggle. From the beginning, it's been a hovering over 500 year.
It's been a rough year, Chris.
It's been sort of a rough year. And it started rough for obvious personal reasons. Now, I don't know what the problem is, but I think we'll turn it around. Although, I checked. Because I had to check. Drew, you are 0-2 versus Simon so far.
Ooh.
I mean, you are a trivia master.
Ooh.
No. He also has a losing record against Curtis, I believe.
Yes, of course I do.
And a losing record against DJ Babylack.
Yep, DJ Babylack's got my fucking number, bro.
But you're crushing Chico.
Am I?
Yeah, you are.
What's your record against Kurt?
Oh, man, I can't.
I think I've won one, and he's probably won, what,
he may
three?
Have won more than one, but he has probably won four or five, because he's been on like six times.
Yeah,
times.
No, I'm trying to...
I know. Dude, it's you, Curtis, the vape guy, C. Vecchi, the vape magician... we'll start calling him the vape magician. Yeah, it's the three of you plus who's the fourth? There's another person. Amy is in the running just because we love having her on. Amy Drew Thompson. There's a few of you who are like buying to be the John Goodman, Steve Martin of this version of SNL, most visited guest. You're also behind SBK, who was on 10 times.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for.
In less than 3 years. That's how generous Kevin was with his time. And I'm telling you, if Kevin was living in Tampa, no one would ever catch up to him. I was asking him all the time. I was like, Kevin, please.
Come, we need content?
Please come entertain us. You're so funny. We love you. I mean, Cinema Crest Radio is technically a spinoff of SBK Live.
Yeah.
For, especially for people who are more recent listeners, they don't know. Check out SBK Live. I guess our parents, our Overlord podcast.
At one point in time, yeah.
Yeah, they need to. Guys, we need to do another episode. You're about a month behind. Here we go. Drew Cogburn versus Roddy, 15-12. This week's game, we've done it before, Drew. It's called Log Lines.
Okay.
I'm going to describe a movie in one line of dialogue, pretty much one line, like an elevator pitch.
Mm-hmm.
You got to tell me the movie.
Yes.
And I think you'll figure out the theme of the game.
Pretty quick.
We've even already kind of touched upon it earlier.
Okay.
Drew, you won last week, right?
Uh-huh.
That's why you're 15-12.
Yes.
You get to go first. Two groups, A or B. What do you want, A or B?
A.
All right, here we go. Perfect. Name the movie. And, of course, I tried to make it go from easy to hard. Okay, and I tried to make it even. I did my best, guys. I'm not a trivia master like Simon or Earth. Oh, comma Curtis. I called him Earth first.
Call him Earth.
The vodka club sodas are finally kicking in, guys. Here we go. Number one, a transient discovers aliens living among us with special sunglasses.
They live.
They live is correct. Number two, one of football's toughest players takes on his biggest challenge.
God damn it. I don't remember the name of the movie, but The Rock was in it.
The Rock is it. That's correct. It's called The Game Plan.
There we go.
Number three, an ex-wrestler takes a job as a bodyguard and nanny.
Oh, fuck. Hulk Hogan is... I don't remember the name of the movie.
Simon.
Mr. Nanny.
That's correct. I knew Simon because he already mentioned it earlier. When we start having that conversation, it's like, oh, these are the answers to the game later. Should we be talking about this? Number four. True. A group of criminals are forced to work together to stop a fanatical warrior from taking control of the universe. I'll say that one more time.
What?
A group of criminals are forced to work together to stop a fanatical warrior from taking control of the universe. Simon feels like he
knows
it. I know
he does. I have no idea.
No idea. Simon, you want to take a guess?
Is it Suicide Squad?
No! I was setting that swerve up, though. I set up that swerve. No, it's Guardians of the Galaxy, starring Dave Bautista.
Yes. Criminals.
The same setup. Yeah, that's why I threw in the universe.
See, and I swear to goodness, I thought that was my first guess, but then I read too much into the forced.
See, I tried to make it harder. There you go. And finally, number five. Simon, there's a lot of... I told you about the I went on a cruise, right? I was mentioning the drinking. There's a lot of trivia on that cruise.
There is.
A lot of trivia.
There is.
And I was like, these people need Curtis or Simon because this trivia sucks. The dicks. All the dicks. This trivia sucks
so many dicks.
This trivia sucks all the dicks and all the clits. It sucks all the genitals. All of them. Because that's how not good it is.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me, by the way.
It's a truth, though.
Someone else's trivia sucks all the dicks.
Yeah. And yours is so much better. You and Kurt, man. Here we go, Drew. You need, if you get this one right, then you have two right. Here we go. Number five.
He's not getting this one.
Number five. A bank robber skips his last heist to take his daughter on a school field trip. You think you know it?
Mm-hmm.
Simon thinks he knows it.
Damn, I should have got this category.
Oh, well, maybe we'll kick ass in the next one then. A bank robber skips his last heist to take his daughter on a school field trip.
That sounds so familiar for some reason. Mm. Like, I want to say that I might have seen this movie. But I don't know what it is.
You don't want to say yes.
I got
Simon, you want to say...
The Chaperone?
It's The Chaperone! Starring Triple H! Yeah.
Definitely did not see that movie.
Sorry, Triple H. Never mind.
Sucked out loud.
Wow.
Okay, you got one out of five. Yeah, that was not good. Ooh, not good. You need to get two right, Simon. Here we go.
I figured out your theme after the second one.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty obvious now. Uh-huh. All right, here we go. Number one. Simon, an interstellar hero visits Earth and tries to fit in.
Oh boy.
An interstellar hero visits Earth and tries to fit in.
I don't know. Terminator?
Oh, Suburban Commando.
Ah, man.
Okay, another tangent.
Undertaker's in that too.
He is.
He makes a cameo,
He is. Kevin Nash is in Grandma's Boy as one of the repo men in the beginning. He's just like in the kitchen eating the ass chips.
Yeah. And he's Super Shredder in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, he is.
He's also in the Magic Mike franchise.
He's in the Magic Mike movies. That's one of the dancers, but the dancer who can't move is because of his knees.
And then he's in Longest Yard as the big prison guard that takes the estrogen by mistake.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I didn't see the Longest Yard remake. Oh my god.
It's got a lot of good guys in
it. Good for him.
He's in all those movies.
He's also a bodyguard who John Wick lets live in John Wick.
You're right.
John Wick puts a gun behind his head and speaks to him in Russian.
Dumb Russian accent.
Yeah, bad Russian accent.
Speaking of Russians, he's the Russian in the Punisher movie with John Travolta.
Oh, is he?
He accidentally got stabbed for real in one of the fight scenes.
Did he really?
Ha! Poor guy.
Kevin Nash. That was a tangent. All right, here we go. Number two. A TV network coerces a wrestler to have a match. That's the log line of the movie. That's how you would describe the plot of this film. A TV network coerces a wrestler to have a match.
Is it No Holds Barred?
It is No Holds Barred. That is correct. That is the plot of that goddamn movie.
Yeah.
It somehow involves a attempted rape as well, which is absurd. Vince McMahon, you're insane. Number three. A rescue chopper pilot saves his family from the after effects of an earthquake. Drew knows it immediately.
San Andreas.
That is correct. So you won, but there we go. Let's finish this out. Number four. A discharged Marine tries to save his kidnapped wife.
The Marine.
With John Cena. And number five. Two wrestling fans are devastated by the firing of their favorite wrestler.
Ready to Rumble! Ready to Rumble.
Correct. 4 out of 5, Simon. You crushed it.
Goddamn Trivia Masters.
Trivia Master plus wrestling was... means Drew is now 15 and 13.
Ooh, I'm the 13.
Yeah, you are.
Oh,
you are lucky number 13.
Okay, back to Gabe's email.
Oh, Gabe's email. Gabe's email's done.
Drew had to close his computer because we're playing the game, and Drew is a man of honor, 100%. We appreciate it. Gabe's email's done. Before we go back to Vox Populi, I wanted to start the show with this, but as much as I prepare, somehow I'm so ill prepared. It's amazing how that works. Top downloads for the month of November. This is the first episode of December. I've been doing this now. Top downloads in the United States. Obviously, number one downloads in the U.S. is Florida.
Okay.
Because we're a Florida-based show, and this is where I started on radio here. So number one's Florida. But after that, top 10: Iowa, California, Virginia, New York, Maryland, Ohio, Illinois, Texas, Colorado, and North Carolina. Shout outs.
Big ups.
To our Cinema Crestfeliso listeners in those states. International. Obviously, United States is number one.
Obviously.
Duh. But outside of that, top 10 downloads international. Here we go. The United Kingdom. You're all counted together. France, Canada, China, Germany, Japan, Taiwan, Panama, Ireland, and Israel.
Whoa, man.
Panama.
That's our homie Gabe.
Oh, yeah.
He was there for a while. He downloaded a bunch of episodes while I was there. So that's why Panama pops up a little low on that list there.
That's outstanding, man.
Yeah, it's fun, right, to see where people are listening. We got a download once in Syria. I was like, man.
Yeah, we did. We were like, how did that happen?
Stay the course, brother. It's tough out there. Anything we can do to help you get through it in Aleppo. How'd you get Wi-Fi service in Aleppo? I have no idea, but we're glad that you chose those precious bits to download Cinema Crespity. So that one time, I hope it was a good episode.
Me too.
I hope it was a good one. All right, back to the Vox Populi. Here we go. Drew, take it away, please, sir.
We got some stuff from Mr. Nathan.
Nathan the homie.
He's got a mini review for The Force Awakens.
Force Awakens, a year later. I like it.
Nearly a year later and around 40 to 50 viewings. I'm baffled to anyone who didn't have fun watching.
40 to 50 viewings is practically at least once a week you're watching the movie.
Yeah, it sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's a lot, right?
Yeah. Somebody really likes it.
Nathan liking that Star Wars. We talked about on the show how we rewatched it with the Pink Floyd.
Uh-huh. That made it worth rewatching.
All right, you know about Simon, the whole, if you play the Dark Side of the Moon, you line it up properly with the Wizard of Oz, certain things line up, right? You ever hear about
that? I've heard of that, but I've never
actually done it, though?
Yeah. It works, bro. You start the album with the second lion roar,
and then you have it on loop.
The second it turns from black and white to
color.
To color, it's when money starts. So all of a sudden, ka-ching! It's ka-ching! And that corresponds. I mean, it was the highest grossing movie of all time at the time when it came out.
And
it was the first movie with color.
Money!
So it syncs like a music video?
Whoa. It's weird, dude.
And then someone figured out, someone did it with The Force Awakens. They lined it up with Dark Side of the Moon.
It doesn't work just as well. It doesn't work as well, but it still works.
It still works pretty damn well, I think.
The opening scene, you'll be like, what?
The first 10 minutes works great with the first song. It works pretty amazing. And then it loops back around. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But we told you that. We watched Star Wars The Force Awakens listening to Dark Side of the Moon. The volume down. Do we even have subtitles on? I think we didn't.
No subtitles. And you bitched about it too. And I was like, motherfucker, you know what's going on in this movie.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's true. I do know what's going on. Yeah, I do know what's going on. And it's weird how that works. But the homie Nathan, he watched it apparently almost once a week this year. It still loves it.
Yes.
Good for him. Good job, dude. What else does he have? You said he has multiple things.
So we've got a thing, a review for him that he meant to send last week.
On Facebook.
Yes.
And we missed it.
But we missed it last week.
All right,
so,
here we go.
So technically this is 2 weeks late now.
All right.
Because he meant to send it.
He meant to send it the week before and we're a week late. Uh-huh. So here we go. Yeah. 2 week old review from the Nathan.
So review. Meant to send this last week, but went to Cloud City and forgot.
Ah, that
probably
happens.
Probably the same reason why that we happens. Forgot as well.
Cloud City is a popular place.
Yeah, man. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Here we go.
Is a fantastic journey back into the Wizarding World.
Nice.
I loved every second of it and could not get enough. It's wonderfully dark in parts while also being quite whimsical and funny in others. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan and really only loved the last three Potter movies due to them cutting so much out. So this movie was a nice experience since it was all new material, not previously in a novel. I can't wait for the next four to see what more they add to the lore. Rhyme not intended.
Ah, but you did it though. That's Nate poetry. Yeah. That's what happens. We appreciate that.
And he's got a Moana review as well.
Hit us up on the Twitter of Moana.
Same Facebook.
Oh, so Facebook. All right, here we go. Moana.
I'll write that down. A visually gorgeous family movie that everyone should see on the big screen. The songs were great and brought me back to the great Disney musicals of my kid years, like Aladdin and The Lion King. It also has a great message for young girls, and the rock is charming as ever.
The Rock is a charming motherfucker.
The Rock
man.
Is the man.
He's like got, one of the most charming dudes ever.
He's got it.
He has it.
He's got that Will Smith it.
Named People's Sexiest Man of the Year this year, making him only the second time ever a non-white male has been sexiest man ever.
And how old is that motherfucker?
He's in his 40s.
Late 40s now. Almost 50.
Yeah, 50 years old and the sexiest man in America.
He's got, people like, they like the mid-40s. You know, McConaughey. Who else? Clooney, using his 40s.
Yeah.
They like that. They like the season look. That's why I'm glad that the gray hairs are finally coming. I'm going to make it work for me.
I'm going to talk about fucking gray hairs coming in. Good
Lord. Yeah, man, make it work for you, dude.
I got the salt and pepper look going.
Yeah, you should. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
looks
exactly. Good. Man, the distinguished. Distinguished Rooster. That's another nickname that Ron's going to give you one
great.
Day.
Great, fantastic.
The dashing, distinguished
it
Rooster.
Could be, it could be in the next
in the,
email.
In the Ron email? Yeah. All right, we got an email from Ron.
But Nathan also has a Die Hard review.
Die Hard.
Yeah. Best Christmas movie ever. Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho,
ho.
Ho, fuck you, terrorists. Barefoot John is here.
There you go. Die Hard is a fantastic. Yeah. That's how you know it's Christmas.
It's the best Christmas movie ever.
That's how you know it's Christmas.
It's not officially Christmas until you put that on, man. That's,
exactly. I was going to say, it's not officially Christmas until you see the Die Hard is a Christmas movie memes on Facebook. Those are, they are popping up like crazy. Hans Gruber falling off that building. Here we go. What's next? And the good old Vox Populi segment of people on the show.
We got an email from Ron.
The Ron. The Ron, the homie. The homie, the Ron. I'm going
to
keep drinking.
All right. I tried to watch High Rise. These are the times I wish I did drugs to see what you guys do.
Oh.
I understand what it was trying to do, but was just inane British sentimentality.
Whoa.
I didn't finish it, but it will maybe one day. I'd rather get my new obsession, Final Fucking Fantasy 15, is great.
Hmm.
The frantic Drewmeister should know the fun of this game. Apparently, I'm frantic. We are Xbox pals now, but this game worried me with the Kingdom Hearts type combat. But it is elevated and tactical. The story is grand and envelops you in it. The movie Kingslave is a fun little digital movie. It suggests you give it a try to immerse yourself in the world. Yeah, there's that. Final Fantasy Kingslave movie.
Okay.
Where it's like a 90-minute animated one. You know, they tried putting one out in theaters, what, like 10 years ago?
That's right. They did make an animated one. Yeah. Right around 2000 or so, maybe.
Yeah.
Even. Is this Final Fantasy 15 you're talking about? What was the number? What's the number of this game?
This is Final Fantasy 15.
15, mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Video all gamer, right,
video
so,
game review. That's what Cinema well, Christmas Vox Pop is all
video,
about.
Well, a video game and a video game movie.
All right, here
so the movie Kingslave is a fun little digital movie. I suggest you give it a try to immerse yourself in the world. The bro road trip vibe is there, but you know what? It's done well, and it's super chill to hear these four heroes bond and laugh over puns. Highly recommended this game. I hear it sold 5 million units already, so everyone add me on Xbox.
There you go.
Lovers always hurt the best way. Ron.
Ron. Thanks, Ron. We appreciate it, dude. Anything else from Vox Populi?
That's the Vox.
That's it. Sir. All right. He mentioned he didn't like High Rise, Drew.
No.
Didn't even get through. Called it inane.
Yes.
Wow.
Apparently
inane.
He didn't. That's
heavy. Apparently. That is.
He just didn't get it. Not everybody gets Mr. Wheatley, sir.
You know who does get the director, Ben Wheatley?
Who?
Our homie Billy D.
Oh, yeah, he does. He's
the one to talk about Ben Wheatley. Our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado, and he has an intro, and it goes like this.
Oh, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Here we go, starting with the Billy D's Death of the Movies. I'll let me do that one more time. It's time for Billy D's
Death of the
Movies. That's a fun fact to do. It's labeled as delay and pitch.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's both.
You got that delayed pitch.
The delay pitch.
So is it like, it's you like play a, baseball?
It's like a changeup.
And you, like, you fake them out?
And then you a changeup.
Okay.
Exactly. Billy sure. D hits us
I don't
up.
Know anything about baseball.
You can hit up Billy D on Twitter at I Love Blood and Instagram at I Love Blood. He takes a lot of pictures with good cameras and they're cool pictures and I highly recommend it. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
My broken PC saga continues. Another 2 weeks without a machine.
Oh, no.
But I know now how to take apart and put together a computer. Everything is learning.
Everything is learning.
So I've been watching a lot of Netflix on my Xbox, and I've even joined CISO because of a thing I watched on YouTube.
Oh, my God. I want to get on that CISO.
More on that later.
All right.
I'm always on the lookout for a good Asian horror film. There are so many, and not all of them are good. Korea has a wide spectrum of horror offerings, from the amazing and outstandingly brutal I Saw the Devil, Korean serial killer thriller.
I Saw the Devil, yeah.
To something comedic and touching like The Host, Korean monster movie / Jaws.
The Host isn't comedic and touching, I guess.
It's a little bit. Times. Yeah. I mean, this is Bill we're talking about.
It is Bill. Bill, yeah, the homie.
The Wailing is a great Korean exorcism / possession movie, but it's so many other things. It's a character film, a cop movie, and an effective mystery. It's also kind of racist? Mm-mm. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a cultural thing. It starts with the police sergeant in a rural area outside of Seoul investigating a triple homicide on a farm. To see a triple homicide is unusual in that area is an understatement. As the body count rises, it appears that this is not just a village gone murder happy. There is something supernatural force at play. When the sergeant's daughter begins to exhibit signs of possession by the murder ghost, he is willing to do anything to cure her, and he chooses his investigation.
Closes the investigation. Yes,
he will do anything to cure her and close his investigation. All that sounds badass, right? It is. But what makes it special is that he's not a super cop. He's not even a very good cop. He's kind of a fat, unlikable asshole, and not very bright. He just loves the shit out of his family and his job, even if he is a joke. Do Won Kwak plays Sergeant Gong. I cannot pronounce this shit.
He got it with the Korean names.
Hang on. Do Won Kwak plays Sergeant Jong-gu so well. It's actually heartbreaking at times.
All right.
And the rest of the actors are awesome. They each create modern characters who each have a foot in the past. Like a shaman with a man bun and the smartphone. The main suspect is a Japanese hermit, and the evidence is pretty strong that he's responsible for all the demonic deeds. But like how they got there seems...
Did he do the text? Is he pulling a Ron on
no,
you?
No, I just can't read today.
Oh, you just can't read. Oh, okay.
But how they got there seems to me like good old fashioned racism. The dumb cop talked to his dumb buddies, and they were all like, "That Japanese guy with the limp. I heard he's an evil priest, and he lives in the woods by himself. Let's get him." Anyway, this film is pretty long at 2 hours and 36 minutes.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel very long.
Oh, okay.
It's really well done, and I recommend it to people undeterred by a marathon subtitle session. For those not interested in an epic Korean ghost story, I also caught the first episode of Harmon Quest on YouTube.
Harmon Quest.
And joined CISO to binge it over.
That's why.
Binge the other 9 episodes immediately.
Okay.
CISO is yet another streaming platform. It has all the SNL episodes ever and other classic stuff. A bunch of original stuff, and this thing called Harmon Quest, which I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
Animated Dungeons & Dragons with Dan Harmon and celebrity guests.
Yep.
Guests like Paul F. Tompkins, Kumail Nanjiani, and Chelsea Peretti. It's fucking hilarious.
Chelsea Peretti's awesome.
They play Harmon Quest, a.k.a. legally not D&D, in front of a live studio audience, and it's intercut with an animated version of the story that's unfolding. Well worth joining and canceling after the free trial, unless you find out that the rest of their original comedy programming is pretty fucking great. Like Billion Dollar Properties.
Bajillion Dollar Properties. But
it just says Billion Dollar Properties.
Word check fucked him up. The spell check.
Autocorrect.
Yeah. Autocorrect. That's what the word I'm looking for. Thank you, Simon.
So, like, Bajillion Dollar Properties with Paul F. Tompkins and Debate Wars with Michael Ian Black.
Ooh, that sounds
cool. I'm going to wind up giving them a month of watching. It's only $3.
Yeah.
Stay cool, Billy D.
CISO is super cheap. SEESO. Yes. And it's an online network that they're starting to get more. You can get them on, like, if you use Xbox or whatever, you can
download,
like, an
app
or whatever. And it's all comedy. I think they actually landed the rights to all Monty Python and Kids in the Hall.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're trying to make it like this is a comedy app. This is a destination for comedy. Bajillion Dollar Properties, I watched a little bit of that on YouTube. It's a funny show. That show is a take on, like, the real estate shows, like the Shahs of Beverly Hills, that kind of, like, HGTV, Bravo kind of shit. So it's like a fake real estate realtor company show, but it's all a bunch of comedians and super funny. And Paul Tompkins plays a guy called Dean Rose Dragon.
Of course.
Which is a great name. Great name. Thanks, Billy the Homie. We appreciate it. Let's get into the movie news. And now it's time for it. That means, where is that? Which button is it?
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beans?
That's right, guys. Movie news time.
Chris, what's going on with the Biebs?
We're
going
to find out what's going on with the Biebs. Simon, what's going on with the Biebs?
You know, I haven't talked to him lately. He hasn't been showing up at trivia or anything.
No, nothing. You don't know what's going on with the Biebs?
Nobody knows what's going on with the Biebs, bro.
Drew, what's going on with the Biebs?
I don't know. We need to see if he's all right.
All right.
Nobody seems to have been, you know, hearing from him lately.
Unfortunately, we do not have a good Biebs update this week. I apologize, but this is your premier destination for hot news in Hollywood. Oh, the music is
that actually song? Worked out really well.
All right, so here we go. I got a couple quick stories. First off, like Ron mentioned in his email in the box, Populi. This helps keep the movie news segment short. Final Fantasy 15 sold an insane number of copies of their game in one day. Do you want to take a guess how many copies of the game? I think Ron mentioned, but do you remember? Were you listening?
He said 5 million.
He said 5 million.
Wow, man.
That number is correct. Yes, according to Eurogamer, Square Enix managed to ship a total of 5 million copies to retailers around the world, making Final Fantasy XV one of the fastest and largest moving products they've ever developed and published.
Jeez Louise.
Final Fantasy guy, is that all, either of you?
I mean, yeah, back in the day, I haven't played a Final Fantasy game since, you know, they were in the 16-bit stage. So,
what number are we talking about? Fantasy 4?
Maybe Final Fantasy 4. I know.
Simon, no, not at all.
Not really. I watched my cousin play all the way through 7, which was amazing. I never actually played myself.
That was on the PlayStation.
Are you a video game guy?
Yeah, I am.
What kind of video games do you like?
You know, Resident Evil was my favorite game series until 6 came out, which was dreadful. you know, I just like stuff like that, like thrillers and Alan Wake, Resident Evil, The Last of Us type stuff, you know. I also did enjoy the Final Fantasy gameplay of the South Park game, The Stick of Truth.
Stick of Truth,
that was a Final Fantasy style game?
Well, no, because that was like the old school JRPG fashion, you know, where it's very turn-based, it's really easy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so okay. I'm actually looking forward.
Sure.
They've got the sequels coming out.
The Fractured.
The Fractured But Whole.
Yeah.
Where they're all superheroes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fucking guys,
grow up, guys. The Coon and Mysterion and all those fuckers.
Those are fun. I like those superhero characters.
Yeah, that's what they're doing in this game.
That shit was really fun.
It'll be good.
Lego Batman movie coming out in February. They put out a new poster, and on the poster, there's a shit ton of characters on the poster, revealing for this Lego Batman movie, they are reaching deep
in a lot
of characters, not just Batman lore, DC lore. So I have some characters here that are going to be making appearances in the Batman Lego movie. First off, as we already know, Will Arnett is Batman Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Ray Fiennes is Alfred in this universe.
Yes.
Michael Cera is Robin.
Uh-huh. That's awesome.
Zach Galifianakis is the Joker.
Wow.
Which is great, right? So those are things we already know. Now, according to the poster, the following characters will be Lego versioned in the Lego Batman movie. We're going to have the Penguin. Scarecrow, Lucius Fox, Batgirl, King Tut.
Oh, wow.
Man Bat.
I like Man Bat.
Clayface.
Clayface is awesome.
Those are the super, the Batman people.
Yeah.
We will also have Martian Manhunter.
Okay.
The Flash, Aquaman.
So the whole JLA.
Hawkman, Green Lantern, Superman, and that's all.
That's the fucking Justice League right there. And that's not just like the new Justice League, you know, where it's just these guys. That is the old school fucking Justice League.
For real.
Hawkman and shit.
Yeah. And
the Foundation. Yeah.
I'm going to zoom in here real quick. Here's, there's Bane. Lego Bane.
Yes. Yes, it is. That is definitely Lego Bane.
With the green things. Yep. The Venom. And behind them, Lego Clayface.
Yeah. Noah, any Riddler love on there?
Oh, yeah, you want to see Riddler?
I want to look at Lego Clayface real
quick. Okay, let me show you Lego. I'll zoom in again so you can see Lego Clayface. He's got a hammer hand there. Right? That's solely Clayface.
Nuts.
That's a crazy Lego Clayface, right?
Yeah, it is.
And then let me
show. Oh, and there's Harley Quinn, Two-Face. Harley Quinn,
yep, she's on the Riddler. Poster. Show Simon the Riddler.
He's right there.
Because he's solely.
He's right behind Catwoman.
Right behind Catwoman, he's totally got the Riddler stat.
Old school
there.
Catwoman.
I have
too.
To, man. Look at, like.
Purple mask.
Look at them shoes.
Riddler Converse All Stars, man. That's awesome.
Dude, this is awesome.
That's fucking great.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
That's a fun poster. Totally looking forward to this
movie. That's a poster I would hang on my wall.
Yeah, right? 100%. It's a cool poster. And hopefully it's gonna be a good movie. Lego Batman. It looks. The trailers, all the marketing is good. So if that's what they have to work with, well then, fucking hell. It's going to be good stuff. Finally, movie news wise, here we go.
So is the Lego Batman movie going to be like the best thing we've seen from DC in a while?
Maybe. DC's been killing it with the animation.
Yes.
Their animated, the animated stuff is all good. I really enjoy it. So I really enjoyed that the animated version of the Flashpoint Paradox thing. That was a lot of fun. Google Play. They rent movies. They released the top 5 most popular movies as per their service. You guys want to take a guess where for this year? For this year, you guys want to take a guess? Five most popular movies to rent this year in 2016. Damn. People are renting on the Google.
Is Star Wars anywhere in there?
Star Wars: Force Awakens. They're the second most popular movie for sure. Second most popular.
I'm trying to think what else came out.
What else came out this year? We've mentioned at least one of them.
Oh.
Zootopia. Third most popular. Captain America: Civil War.
Yeah, the Marvel
fourth
stuff.
Most popular. Those three movies right there, 2, 3, and 4, Disney.
Yeah.
Of the top 5, 2, 3, and 4 Disney movies. Number 5, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. Made the top 5 list. The number 1 most popular movie on Google Play, Deadpool.
Wow.
Hell fuck yeah, that's awesome.
Good for them, Deadpool. Man, yeah.
Yep. Deadpool and Star Wars both have the benefit of having the most time on Google Play. Yeah. Star Wars came out in theaters in December of last year. Yep. Deadpool in February. So they've been on Google Play the longest of all these movies. But still, says a lot about the Deadpool character and the obvious popularity of Star Wars.
They finally did Deadpool right. I mean, they attempted.
They attempted before with the
they even cast,
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
They even casted the right guy for it.
The same guy. We're going to try to get with the same guy. Reboot, but with the same guy. How many times has that happened? That never happened.
No, right? It doesn't, but it worked this time.
That's fucking insane. Deadpool's a fun movie, and Simon, you seem to be agreeing with us here.
I just rewatched it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Right?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It's hilarious.
Good stuff for sure. Okay, that's your movie news. So it's time for the lightning round.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Okay, here we go. I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number 1. Is this real life or is it fantasy?
It's a bolt of lightning. Galileo, Galileo.
Oh, that's your answer?
Yeah.
Okay, number 2.
How the hell can you answer? You can't give it the right answer.
All
right,
number 2. Are we stuck in a landslide?
Not on this part of the world.
No.
Thankfully.
Number 3. Is there no escape from reality?
There is, but it's illegal.
All right. Number 4. Do poor boys need sympathy?
But they got to pay.
Number 5. If something is easy come, why is it also easy go?
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on. Number 6. How do you get a little high and then a little low?
It's also illegal, but you got to get the right stuff.
The right. Number 7. Does the direction of the blowing wind really matter to you?
Pocahontas taught me that.
Number 8.
You can color with it, too.
Stay on the game. Number 8. Is Queen really Queen without Freddie Mercury?
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Number 9. We Will Rock You or We Are the Champions?
We Are the Champions.
Ooh. Number 10.
Good celebratory song.
And finally, what's the deal with airline food? What's the deal with airline food?
You know, I like airline food.
What?
Only because most of the time when I'm traveling, I'm either really hungover or haven't eaten in a while, so I'm just glad to have sustenance.
More airline food, Simon time, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, actually, the reason airline food tastes so bad has nothing to do with the food itself.
Drew, go ahead and tell people what's up with the airline food.
It's at the altitude at which you're eating it at.
There you go.
Yes. That's what it is.
It's fucking with your taste and your senses and stuff. Yeah. Right. The air is thinner.
It's the altitude. It's got nothing to do with the food.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. Is that some wild, crazy science?
Science!
Science! Here we go. Guys, that's what we're going to see on the show. It's swag bag time. Juice of Cogburn, go ahead and grab these bags over here. We have the brown bag and the blue bag. Simon, pick the bag. Which one do you think you might go home with today?
I'll take the blue bag.
Blue bag, here we go. Juice of Cogburn, break open the blue bag. Take out the items. Let's see what Simon may go home with.
Sir, you may get to go home with a small can of cheddar cheese Pringles.
Yes!
2.5 ounces, 71 grams.
Food.
150 calories per serving. It's about 15 servings in here, I think.
I can tell you.
Oh, yes!
Yeah, 15 servings in here.
Oh, you've also got some DG8. You got 18 red party cups. They're tiny ones. They're like disposable shot glasses, basically.
Yes, I just used the last of mine.
You got a 100-piece puzzles of bunnies having a party with sunglasses on.
Party and bunnies. That's 100 pieces, too, so not easy.
Cinema Crespo Diesel bootleg editions of Wild Wild West, The Pelican Brief Part 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Hit the wrong button, but it's still appropriate. There we go.
And a bunch of stickers.
And a bunch of stickers. Simon, all that stuff can be yours. Or Juice of Cogburn will put it all away. You don't see it ever again. And then instead, you take what we have in the box that Juice of Cogburn has right over here.
I always pick the box.
Do you always pick the box?
Everybody's always picks the box.
No, not necessarily. Some people, returning guests, like to take the bags after they return sometimes. Like I said, not trying to influence you, Simon. Just saying, that's what happened. Simon, it's your decision. You want to take the bag or...
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Those Pringles sound amazing.
Especially you got a long ride home, buddy.
I'll take the Pringles.
Right. Oh, we're taking the bag. I like it. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Simon takes the bag. There's also stickers in there. And we appreciate it. Simon, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, man. Yeah. I got Cinema Crespo Diesel stuff all over the house.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
That's the idea.
I have a permanent sticker on my trivia podium. I got it on the car. It's
awesome. You're the man, Simon. Thank you. Juice of Cogburn, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed episode 204. We'll be back with 205 very soon. In a week. How does that work? Time. It's crazy. Be excellent to each other. Read more books. Break up the big banks. Hide your money in mattresses. And support independent wrestling with the good stuff. Not that ZCW bullshit. You know what I'm talking about if you listen to that wrestling bonus episode. And remember to fight the power. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. And Che Guevara is a complicated guy. Don't just, no blanket statements. Come on, guys. Be cool.
Viva los macheteros!